Thank you for that. That song is taken from Isaiah chapter 1. Let's turn in the scriptures to Hebrews 13 for our message this morning. Hebrews chapter 13. Our subject is that which is changeless. Let me read two verses to you, verses 7 and 8, Hebrews 13. He says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation," that is, their behavior, their manner of living. And then he says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We know that all around us, lots of things are changing. I asked one of the men of our congregation who is more than 20 years older than I am. I said, "I guess you've seen a lot of change in your life, haven't you?" He said, "I sure have." He said, "And you've seen a lot of change in your life too." And I said, "Yes, I have." All around us, things are changing. We often sing that song, "Abide with Me." And one of the verses says these words, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me." We're just about to finish up the month of January in a new year. The months seem to be going faster. But as we look back on January of last year, several changes that have taken place in our families, in our congregation, in your lives, changes have taken place. But we know change is inevitable. We're a changing people. We don't have the same abilities we used to have when we were younger. We don't have the same amount of strength that we used to have. Our families have changed. Members of the family, our health, perhaps, it's changed. Maybe last year you didn't have an ache or a pain or any kind of problems at all, but now you say, "Boy, that has changed, preacher." That's the way life is. And we endure the changes because we understand these things that change. They're governed by the God who doesn't change. The God whose purpose will know no change. Down here on earth, all things may be changing to us, and they are. But our God is the same. He's the same. We read in the scriptures, you read for us from Psalm 102. It's also stated in Hebrews, the first chapter. God laid the foundations for all things. And He'll fold things up at last, but He won't change. He can't change. Oh yes, with us, there are lots of changes. And I'll tell you, a wonderful, there is a song that was written years ago. What a wonderful, wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Since the Lord Jesus came to me, what a change that He wrought in me. The things that I love now are different from what I used to love. I now love His gospel. I love His word. I love His name. I love the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to speak of Him who's God's sacrifice for sin. I didn't used to be like that, and you didn't used to be like that. Well, what has happened? You've been changed. So, change can be a kind of a negative thing, but there are also good changes. Good changes. But in this world, nothing stays the same. Winter, it changes to spring. Soon we hope. And spring to summer, and summer to fall, and then winter is sure to come again if God's pleased to keep things going as they've been going. Nothing stays the same. In this world, there's nothing solid. There's nothing immovable but our God. That's all that's immovable. He is the rock. He is our stability. All around us, things are indeed a-changing. But that one on whom we built our hopes for salvation, He's ever the same. And so we read here in our text, Jesus Christ, the same. Isn't it wonderful to know there's someone who is the same? He's not aging like we are. The writer of Scripture says the dew of youth is on your brow. And yet John sees Him in Revelation chapter 1 as that one who has hair white as snow. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Ancient of Days, but yet the dew of youth is upon His brow. He never changes. His grace never changes. His purpose never changes. He in Himself never changes. He who is our steadfast and always sure foundation, He will continue to be that. He's the rock upon which we built all of our hopes for salvation. And He will never, never change. And He says to His people, look up in verse 5 here in Hebrews 13. He says, let your conversation, let your behavior be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee. I'm with you always, He says. I'll never forsake you. I'm the same. Our love runs hot and cold. Our belief, most of the time, a good bit of the time, is more like unbelief. We show a fickleness about us. And yet the one in whom we have our confidence is always the same. Always the same. Oh, how wonderful. One who is without change in this world that is full of change. And all around us, you know, the Scripture says, and this is what Solomon says in the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There's nothing to this world. It's just, if you grasp after the things of the world, you're grasping after air. If you build on anything in this world, you're building on shifting sand. Everything in this world that gives us joy will someday bring us grief and sorrow. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, is what the preacher says. And that's not the, I don't think that's a cry of helplessness. I don't think it's a cry of despair. It's just a statement of fact. Is that right? It's just a statement of fact. Everything on this earth that is of this earth is vanity. And you can't trust your soul to anything here. Let me speak to you this morning about things that are indeed changeless. And I want to stick right with the context here. Because in the seventh verse, he's spoken about those who speak the word of God. I'll tell you what will not change. The scriptures. God's word will never change. You know how important God's word is to him? Listen to the scripture, Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's how vital the word of God is to God himself. He has magnified it above his name. Therefore, he says, you better not add anything to this word. And you better not take anything away from this word either. This book of God is without change. Ever since the scriptures have been written, they have been changeless. Because they present to us a God who doesn't change. A Savior who doesn't change. A salvation that doesn't change. The grace of God that doesn't change. The condition of men that doesn't change. The Word of God will never, never change. God will never alter His Word. The message has always been the same. Right from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we're introduced to an event that forever shaped the history of mankind. That's the fall of man. Our own sinfulness. And our condition by nature, guess what? It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. As Adam and Eve became in the Garden of Eden, so we were when we were born. The Word of God says that Adam, when he sinned, he died. That hadn't changed. We're born into this world very much physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. In Adam, we died. That has not changed. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. Without fail, every baby born into this world is born a sinner. A sinner. Alienated from God. There are no innocent people in this world. There are no innocent babies. I know that they haven't deliberately lifted up their hand in rebellion against God as of yet. But they're born alienated from God because they have the nature of Adam. They have the nature of sin. That has not changed. Every little one born into this world as a result of the union of a man and a woman ever since Eve gave birth to Cain, everyone without exception is born a sinner cut off from God. That hasn't changed. See, there are some things that stay the same. The Word of God stays the same. The Word of God says that Adam and Eve, upon their fall and hearing the call of God, in the cool of the day. They immediately made for themselves fig leaf aprons. And that hadn't changed. Ever since man failed, he's been trying to make a righteousness for his own. Every man is self-righteous. We readily accept this idea that if we do something good for God, God will do something good for us. But if we don't do something good for God, He's not going to do anything good for us. We readily accept that idea because we're self-righteous by nature, and that hasn't changed. Throughout the years, 6,000 years, men have been on this earth, and that hadn't changed. We're self-righteous by nature. The thing of it is, the Word of God says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. As we look at one another, as we observe one another, we say, yeah, she's a good person, he's a good person. That was a good deed, you did a good deed. But there's nothing really that God can say is good unless it's absolutely perfect. It's got to be perfect before God will accept it. In fact, you've got to be perfect before God will accept you. And Christ Jesus had to be the perfect sacrifice before God even would accept Him. The Word of God doesn't change. When Adam and Eve, when they committed this transgression against God. And of course, Adam was the federal head. When Eve sinned, nothing happened. But when Adam sinned, his wife fell and he fell also. But when they did, they didn't seek God. They didn't run after God. They didn't say, oh God, show us mercy. And that hadn't changed. No man left to himself. No woman left to their own volition, left to their own will ever come to Jesus Christ for salvation. If God leaves you to yourself, you will perish. If God just leaves you alone, if He were to, as many say, wait for you to take a step toward Him, He would wait forever. And that won't ever change. Because we don't ever make the first step toward God. The Scripture says, no man seeketh after God. In Luke chapter 15, when our Lord gave the parable of lost things, it wasn't the sheep, the lost sheep seeking after the shepherd. It's the shepherd seeking the lost sheep. That doesn't ever change. There's never a change in that. We don't ever seek after Him. I know there's forgiveness with Him. There's righteousness with Him. There's salvation with Him. There's justification with Him. There's sanctification with Him. There's heaven with Him. There's acceptance with God through, in, through and by Christ Jesus. But we won't ever come to Him in saving faith if left to ourselves. And that'll never change. You know, if God just leaves you alone, then your destiny is sealed. There's no way you make it to God. There's no way you'll make it to heaven. If God, as some men say, just takes a hands-off approach. There are those who say, you know, God won't interfere with your will. If that's so, then you might as well go ahead and pack your bag. You're going to hell. That's just the way it is. If He leaves you alone, if God takes a hands-off approach, if God won't interfere with your sacred free will, then you're a goner. And you see, that never will change. It never will change. If God leaves us to ourselves, we will perish. And I put it like this. If He leaves us to Himself, there's no possibility of salvation. The Word of God doesn't change. It doesn't change. It sets forth there in Genesis chapter 3 the necessity of a suitable substitute for sinful people. That's never going to change. Poor old Adam and Eve. I feel sorry for them, but of course it's of their own doing. And there they stand with those fig leaf garments that they kind of tucked around them, pulled around them. And they stand shivering in the presence of God Almighty. And the Lord does something for them that they can't do for themselves. He takes animals and He kills them. And then He skins those animals. He takes those fig leaf garments off them. And He puts those robes, those skins around them. And He accepts them upon the basis of an innocent victim dying in their stead. That doesn't change. That never has changed. Ever since right there at the end of Genesis chapter 3. It's the only way sinners are accepted by God is through an innocent sacrifice dying in their stead. And of course those animals pictured the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice for sin. And those skins pictured His perfect righteousness freely imputed to sinners. And we're robed with the garments of salvation. Who robes us? Well, who robed Eve and Adam? Who wrapped them in the garments of these animals? Who was it that shed the first blood to save them? God did. That hadn't changed. You see, salvation is not what you do with God or for God or in cooperation with God. It's what God does for a sinner.
Amen.
And you see this in Adam and Eve standing before God. What could they do? They're guilty. They're ashamed. They blush. They're naked. And they can't do anything about it. Death. That's what awaits them, because God said, in the day ye eat thereof, you'll surely die. They're ready to die. The sentence of death is going to fall upon them. But wait! God does something for them. You see, this has never has changed through the years. God's got to do something for us. The Word of God, this is what I'm saying, the Word of God has not changed. The Word says, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. That hadn't changed. You're not going to see the kingdom of God apart from the new birth. You must be born again, but you can't do anything to bring about that birth. The Bible, the Word of God still says, but without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You think that's changed? That hadn't changed. Before you can see the Lord and stand before Him and abide in His holy presence, you got to have a holiness given to you. And you can't muster it up. You don't even know how to begin to figure out how to be holy. What are you going to do to be holy? We don't even know anything about holiness. We think holiness is... it's got to do with how you dress and where you go and what you eat. Holiness doesn't have anything to do with those things. Holiness, absolute perfection. Inwardly and outwardly. Every thought submissive to God. Every thought, every motive, every act, every word spoken, everything for the glory of God. We're talking about holiness now. And you'll have holiness, you'll be holy, or you'll perish. That hasn't changed. I'll tell you something else the Word of God says hasn't changed. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's John 12:24. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary. God could not save a sinner any other way except through the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ.
Amen.
If He could save a sinner some other way, then you charge God with the murder, the needless murder of His only begotten Son.
Amen.
You call into question His very wisdom. You mean God in His infinite wisdom could save a sinner some other way than sending His Son to the cross of Calvary to die the ignominious death of a substitution on that cross and shed His blood and suffer in His body and in His soul, and God could have saved a sinner some other way? Well, you charge God with absolute foolishness. Listen, there was no other way. There was no other way except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. This hasn't changed. Because you see, God in His justice has always demanded death for sin. Death for sin. I'll tell you something else the unchangeable Word of God still says. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. John 3:27. Just this message, what I'm saying this morning. You can't receive it. You won't receive it. It won't get into your mind and into your heart and become a part of you. You cannot receive it unless God reveals it to you. I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how high IQ you've got, you may have made straight A's and A plus and 4 point whatever average through high school and through college and in university. I don't care how many degrees you might have, you ain't smart enough to figure out the gospel. Because a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foreign to him. It's unnatural to him. We understand natural things. We can't understand spiritual things. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. That hadn't changed. And you won't get what I'm saying today. You won't get what the Scriptures say unless God gives you understanding from above. And the book of God that doesn't change, it still says this. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a remnant, we'd have been in Sodom. And we'd have been in Gomorrah. You know why this world still stands? And this world is like, especially in this country, is like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why it still stands? Because there's a remnant according to the election of grace. They're going to have to hear the gospel. They're going to have to hear about Christ Jesus. About His one-time sacrifice for sin. The Spirit of God's going to bring them by effectual grace to believe Him. But if God hadn't done that, why, we'd already been destroyed. I take something else the Word of God says, and this doesn't change. Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build thy house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Unless God does something for us, we labor in vain. I preach with enthusiasm. Somebody told me the other day, said, you preach like you really believe what you're preaching. I said, well, I really do believe what I'm preaching. And I'm kind of excited about it. And I know preachers have different methods and delivery, and I understand all that, and I don't call into question whatever methodology preachers, some are loud, some are soft. I don't call into question any of that. But as for me, I just put my body and soul into it. Because this is vital to me. I love this message, and I want you to love this message too. But unless the Lord does the work, won't anything come of my labor? Won't anything come of any preacher's labor? The Lord's got to build the house. And I'll tell you this, concerning the Word of God that doesn't change, it still says of Christ Jesus, no man cometh unto the Father except through Him. That'll never change. I may be speaking to people who've never heard me before. Most of you I know. A couple of you maybe I don't. And I don't know who's watching on the internet. But let me tell you something. Mary is not the way to God. And some dead saint, Saint Christopher, Saint John, Saint whoever, they're not the way to God. Does the Bible mean anything to people today? Our Lord Jesus said, and I preached from this past Wednesday night, He said in John 14:6, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is a changeless fact. And if you try to come to God any other way, you're not going to make it. In fact, you insult God's Word. You do damage to yourself. You don't damage God. You're not going to damage God's purpose. You can't frustrate what He set out to do. But you're just hurting yourself. Because you put yourself in competition with God's darling Son. You don't want to do that. God hath purposed that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's the only way to the Father. And you say there's some other way? I don't want to even be around you. It'd be dangerous to be around you. Why do you say that, preacher? Because God's going to get vengeance on you. He's going to take out His wrath on you. Because you tried to steal His glory. What do you think God's going to do, folks, who try to steal His glory? The glory of His salvation, all in Christ Jesus. What is God going to do with people who seek to steal His glory? He's going to put them in hell. That's a sure fact. I'm telling you the truth now. And this doesn't change. It doesn't change. And I'll tell you something else. Our Lord Jesus Himself, He doesn't change. Look at verse 8. In verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Word of God doesn't change. And that one who is the living Word, who is the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't change. What's His name? His name is Jesus. That's His Hebrew name. Christ is His Greek name. Jesus means Savior. Jehovah who saves. Who is this one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, He's Jesus, the Savior. He's always been the Savior of His people. That had never changed. You know, there are people who think that in the Old Testament, people were saved one way, and in the New Testament, people are saved another way. That's not right. This salvation has always been in Jesus the Savior.
Amen.
Never has changed. God never has put in a substitute plan. This is Jesus the Savior. When He was but an infant, cradled in His mother's arms, He was Jesus the Savior then. When at 8 days old he was formally given his name, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." When he was formally named Jesus, "This is Jesus," Joseph said. "This is Jesus," Mary said. He was then the Savior of his people, like he's always been the Savior of his people. I know when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that doesn't mean his outward circumstances haven't changed. It means that he himself has known no change. He's always been the Savior of his people. He's always been the Lamb of God. And he has always been smitten with the rod of God's justice, because the Scripture says he's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. That hasn't changed. Blood redemption, that hasn't changed. Righteousness freely imputed, that hasn't changed. Jesus the only Savior, that hadn't changed. He's Jesus. That's his Hebrew name. Joshua. Jehovah who saves, or Jehovah who is our salvation. It's just like Moses, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he couldn't lead them into the land of promise. That's left for Joseph. Joshua, excuse me. That's left for Joshua. Joshua led them into the promised land. And our Lord Jesus, the law of God, Moses is the law of God. The law can't take us to God. Only Joshua, only Jehovah who saves, only Jesus who saves can take us into the land of promise. And he's Christ. That's his Greek name. He's the anointed one. Anointed by God. He's the sent one. In the Old Testament, you had three main offices, and there was an anointment necessary for each of them. Prophet, priest, and king. That's our Lord Jesus. He's the prophet. He speaks to us for God. He's the one who communicates to us the very truth of God. And he is the priest. He's the one who does business with God on our behalf. He ministers to God. He meets the needs of God, and the need of God is a perfect sacrifice. And he rendered himself to God, and he's the King. He's Jesus, who is the Christ. And he's the same. He's the same. Yesterday and today and forever, his attributes don't change. His purpose of grace never changes. His great love never changes. His covenant offices don't change. He's been our surety from old eternity. He still is. What does that mean? He stands good for us. The Father gave him a bunch of people in covenant election. Said, "You take them and you save them and bring them home safely." He's the surety. He entered into a covenant. He entered into a vow with God. He said, "I'll save them and bring them to you and glorify them through my blood and through my righteousness." That hadn't changed. He's the great I Am. He told the Jews before Abraham was, "I am." Not "I was" or "I used to be," but "I am." He's always I Am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our eternal advocate. He's our everlasting Savior. And he's unchangeable in all that he is to his people. He is to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Oh, I tell you, the Word of God doesn't change. And the Savior himself doesn't change. He's the same. And I tell you, he still saves the needy. He still is the Savior of sinners. That hadn't changed. We're still needy. That hadn't changed. We're still poor old sinful people. That hadn't changed. There's still acceptance with God through Christ Jesus. That hadn't changed. That hadn't changed. Let's get our songbooks, if you would, and turn to 235. Pass me not.